In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, we're having a fun day today. Today is Memorial Day.
Yeah, we are recording this on Memorial Day.
We're recording on Memorial Day. And Mike, I know you heard a little bit of this rant, and I'm going to give a little bit of my rant. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We know we try not to politicize things too much, but we did have...
Right out the gate.
last year we had our discussion about the 4th of July. I think we even mentioned something about Memorial Day last year, but I will remind people, please remember, Memorial Day is for fallen military people, people that that died while in service of the military, not people that died after they retired from the military, but these are people that actually were in war, or even not necessarily in war, but were actively serving when they died, and died as a part of their active service. This is not a time to go up to somebody that you know that is a veteran that is alive and thank them for their service. This is the inappropriate time. It's always nice to thank a veteran for their service. Although I do say it's sometimes it may be helpful to make sure that they're okay with being thanked for it, because some people don't necessarily like to be thanked for it. Some people, they've done it, but they don't necessarily want it acknowledged in that way all the time, and that's okay. They have the right to not want to have it pointed out or acknowledged like that. But again, this is not necessarily the time to specifically do that. This is the time to be somber and remember the people that gave what's considered the ultimate sacrifice for their country.
Absolutely.
And as a result, I personally have a little bit of an issue with people that use this weekend as an excuse to go to the lake and barbecue and drink and all that. Because in my mind, that's not really being somber and honoring the dead. Although I will admit there are some, for some people that were in the military and did die while in service, that may be the way to honor them properly. You know, I can say this much, getting a little personal, I guess, about situation. And so you're prepared, by the way.
Okay.
Hopefully this doesn't happen for a long, long time. But I just want you to be prepared. If I die before you do, okay, I don't want a funeral. I don't want everybody sitting around weepy, crying. There's only going to be like three people who are going to be crying anyway. I would rather have anybody that has any connection to me that wants to honor me or remember me in some way, shape, or form. I'd rather y'all have a party. I'd rather y'all have a party, have a few responsible drinks, because I have always been a responsible drinker. Do stuff like have hamburgers and donuts, not together separately. I'm not cool on the whole donut as your bun for your hamburger. That's just wrong. Eat them separately and enjoy the flavor separately. You know, eat foods that I like, drink things that I like, sit around and tell funny stories about stupid crap that I've done. I would rather people have some, I don't want you to be like, yay, he's dead. But I mean, if you feel that way, all right. I shouldn't have any say over your personal feelings on the matter. Although I don't know why you'd be around a group of people that actually care about me and saying, yay, he's dead. But hey, if that's your choice, whatever.
Just in the middle of, in the middle of the, I can see that in the middle of the entire, you know, the gathering, like everybody's chilling out. It's not even a toast. Just some dude, just whoever the hell it is, I have no idea, just comes barreling through the door like a Kool-Aid man with you know, a party hat and like a 12 pack and just a Hawaiian shirt and just being completely stupid.
Actually, all of that actually sounds okay. I mean, as long as you're not like, yay, he's dead, the Hawaiian shirt, I used to wear those.
Somebody rolling, hey, what's up, assholes?
That's, I'm kind of almost good with that part of it. I just don't want, I mean, if it happens, it happens. We're all going to die at some point or another, and I'd rather people be able to get together and be able to talk about good memories. I'm not going to say there may not be some somber points in it, but I want people to be able to remember the good things about me as much as possible, talk about, hopefully I've I've been able to bring enough fun and happy stories to people. Even if they're just wistfully happy, whatever. I would rather have that situation than, you know, all the funeral garbage, everybody dressed in black and all of that. I want jokes. I want people to have fun being able to remember me. You know what I mean? That's how I'd want to do it. So again, I understand on Memorial Day, if you have people that you know that died in service and you know that they would want things to be more fun, you'd know they'd want that kind of an atmosphere as opposed to an atmosphere of everybody being all sad and crying and all of that, then by all means, celebrate Memorial Day that way. I just feel like it's used too much as an excuse to be a drink and party holiday when I think it does require a little bit more respect.
Yeah, than, I can agree with that.
You know, I mean, now on the same token, Veterans Day, that is the time to thank the people that you know that are still alive, that are veterans, that have been in the military, that have served, especially those people that have been in active war zones, that have had to do some of the almost terrible, I wouldn't say be in the most terrible situations sometimes that humans have to be in to try to make sure that we maintain as much security and peace as we can in the world. And that may sound kind of oxymoronic to say that they have to be in a war zone to help secure some kind of peace. But let's be honest here, people. That's sometimes what's necessary is some kind of force to make sure that the rest of the world can be at peace. And so on Veterans Day, again, that's the time that you want to thank the people that you know. And that's the time I'm of the belief, if you got people that you know that are veterans, have your barbecue then. Have your party then. And just make sure the veteran that's there, or veterans, if you know multiple people that have served, they're the ones that don't have to bring the food. They're the ones that don't have to bring the beer. They're the ones that when you're done barbecuing, you're like, hey, veterans here? Y'all come and get your food first. You want a burger? You want a dog? And you want some ribs? You get all of them.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because guess what? You're the one who went through all of that training and then went to some god-awful place and had to deal with all that BS. You're the one that did all that damn running. Because there's so much damn running in the military, man. You know, that's the reason I never even considered going into the military.
You just didn't want to run,
older, right? like when I was a little kid, I wanted to be an astronaut, like many kids. But like I went into like full on studying. I got like 3 or 4 books on the space shuttle. Learned all about the dimensions of it, how it was made, the type of fuel that were in the rockets to be able to launch the space shuttle. I mean, I went into full in depth, research. And I learned that one of the things that you needed to do, of course, beforehand was to get certain degrees in college and also to log a certain number of flight hours, preferably in the Air Force. So there was a time when I thought, okay, I'd have to be in the Air Force. If I want to be a shuttle pilot, I want to be in the Air Force first. Okay. Yeah, then I found out that as a kid, I was not very good at dealing with G-forces. I get extreme motion sickness.
Oh.
To the point that I couldn't even deal with like little baby roller coasters when I was a kid. I used to freak out and scream on them.
Oh wow.
I got to a point where as a teenager and as a young adult I was able to ride some roller coasters. But roller coasters were always very difficult for me. The whipping around, moving around, I get kind of pukey. And even riding in the car, here's a question for you. Have you ever seen me ride in the back seat of a car?
I don't think so. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure.
How often have you seen me ride in the passenger seat of a car? Typically, I'm driving, right?
Normally, yeah, you would be, unless, you know, there's like one or two situations where like I've driven you somewhere, but it's very few and far between.
And the reason for that is if I'm in the back seat, I get pukey. If I'm in the passenger seat, I can be okay. I'm better when I'm driving. I don't have the motion sickness problems when I'm driving.
I can see that. Well, there one. I actually, for a period of time, I was like that too, sitting in the back seat. There's something about not being able to see where I'm going that gives me motion sickness. So sitting in the passenger seat, I'm okay because I'm able to see the road in front of me and see where the car is going and like all this kind of stuff. Driving, I have a problem because you're in control of the vehicle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
I totally fully understand that. Yeah.
Even in the passenger seat, sometimes I can't deal.
Yeah,
part
I get
of,
it.
The other part of that is I don't trust anybody else to drive me typically anywhere. If right. I if I Here's a statement for you. If I get in the car with you and I'm a passenger and I'm not bitching and complaining about getting in the car with you beforehand, or I don't suggest that I drive beforehand,
right,
that is probably that's probably close to the most trust I could ever give you. The only way that shows more trust is if I let you watch my kids. Because I don't let anybody watch my kids.
Right.
But yeah, that's there's only a few people that I know that I would, regularly get in the car with, like on a daily basis, get in the car with and let them drive.
Oh yeah.
And then a few more that I know that I would occasionally get in the car with. I haven't been around your driving enough. In fact, I've only been in the car with you, I think, once in the last like 10 years.
I think so. And it was more recently too.
It was very recently. And so, we didn't go very far. We just went to a fast food place and grabbed some food.
Yeah.
So I don't have a judgment on your driving ability at this point. If you asked me to get in the car with you again, I would, because you didn't do anything during the one time in the car that made me say, nope, I'm not getting in the car with this motherfucker again. but there
I'm gonna
are many
take that
people
as a compliment.
Do so, because and then again, there's another level for my kids. There's only two people on this planet that are allowed to drive my kids anywhere, and that's me and my wife. Nobody else is allowed to drive my kids anywhere, and I've made that very, very clear. None of my siblings, my dad, nobody else is allowed to drive my kids anywhere. If it's an emergency, if it's an emergency, my dad can do it. I will be okay with my dad doing it in an emergency. And one of my wife's sisters is allowed to drive them in an emergency. And mainly that's because we need at least somebody else other than us in case we're the emergency. But they're the only people. And they know that they're the only people that are allowed to do it. And it's part of it is because I'm a massive control freak. And if somebody else is driving, I can't be in control. And that doesn't make me very happy. And the only person that I will regularly get into a car with and let drive at any moment in time without question is my wife.
I can understand that.
My father used to be, but it's been a long time since I've ridden in a car with him. He's the one that taught me how to drive. So, and he's a pretty darn good driver. I will say that.
Well, that's good.
The only accident he was in, he was sitting at a stop sign and somebody ran into the side of his van. So,
oh, that sucks. Dude, that's like terrifying.
Oh yeah, if my sister had been sitting in the seat that she normally sat in,
yeah,
it probably would have killed her.
Oh,
but she
goodness.
Was sitting in a different seat. Because she would normally sit in the back seat behind the driver, but she was sitting in the front seat that day and it hit right behind the driver.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's terrible.
Although a couple of years ago, I guess my dad has bad luck when his car is stationary, because a couple of years ago they were at my dad was at a birthday party, and I had just left the birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there at the birthday party, and a truck rolled itself and ended up landing on top of his other van, another van that he had, landing on top of the van right outside. It clipped like the corner of the building and landed on top of his van, totaling his van.
Oh my God.
Nobody was in it at the time. Yeah.
Nobody was in the car, right?
No, nobody was in the car. There was nobody in the car at the moment in time. They were all in the restaurant. It was in a restaurant. It was in a pizza place.
And he just watched it happen?
And they all saw it clip the side of the building or the corner of the building and then, yeah, land on top of his van.
Oh, my goodness.
Completely totaling out his van. Yeah, that was something. I was there maybe 10, 15 minutes before it happened, and I had left.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Dude, no way.
Freakiness.
No way. I don't think I would ever want to drive again. If I had more than one situation like that happen, no.
You know, my dad's just one of those types that, you know, things happen in the world. You just kind of got to keep moving forward, I guess.
Roll with
not
it.
Not much you can do, but keep moving forward. Yep.
I can get
again, it. he wasn't in the vehicle, so at least he can be like, well, okay, that happened, but I wasn't in it. So could have been a lot worse. I could have been in it.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I'm sure if I asked him that, probably if he was talking to us right now, that would be his thing. Well, I wasn't. It sucked, but I wasn't in it. That's nice. And more importantly, It hit an empty, it rolled into an empty van instead of rolling into the restaurant where there was like 30 people in the restaurant for this birthday party. This little kid's birthday party. Wow. I believe it was a first birthday. So like, you had all these people in this restaurant for this little kid's birthday party. That truck could have rolled into the restaurant. Think of the damage it could have done then. Think of the people that it could have hurt. Oh, instead, it totaled a vehicle that nobody was in. I mean, I can think that my dad would see that as a win. I know I would see that as a win. I mean, it sucks, but nobody was hurt in the process of it. Well, the driver of the truck might have been. I don't remember what happened to him. I don't think he died, but he might have been hurt. But the thing is, it could have been
if he
so
clipped
much
a building and landed building. Upside down on top of another car. I'm pretty positive he got hurt.
Yeah, I'm sure he was hurt. I just don't know anything more than that. But again, it could have been so much worse if it had hit the building, because
yeah,
well,
I mean,
untold number of people injured.
Absolutely, and like, I mean, in the extremity of the situation, I would guess that since there was, and I'm assuming nobody but the driver was in a car at all that
I
was damaged.
I don't know. That I can't tell you.
I mean, I can't necessarily call it the best of that situation either, but I think the moral of the story here is don't drive like a jackass.
Yeah, that would be, that definitely be a moral of the story.
Like,
don't drive like a jackass.
Yeah, don't just, yeah. Whatever situation brought it, whatever situation you could have taken.
Speeding was the situation
that
in
was,
here, yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that.
No, it's not, don't.
Come
don't.
On.
There's laws for a reason, people.
Yeah.
There's laws, there's
it's just
rules.
People do stupid shit. And
rules
the laws
are
in place so people stop doing stupid shit.
Yeah, it doesn't always work, but the more we can try to follow the laws and the rules, the better things are. I'm just saying.
Right,
that can apply
exactly.
to a lot of things right now. So, you know. But anyway. So, like I was saying earlier, Memorial Day to me is a somber day. See how I brought that back around? Aren't you proud of me for that? So
nice segue, I guess.
Today on Memorial Day, I like I do most Memorial Days, I just kind of stay at home, do my normal home things. Just kind of, I don't know, I relax in the idea that the people that did die for the purpose that we are honoring on this day, they died so that I can sit back and relax. And again, maybe that's what people do when they're having the barbecues and party. They want to honor the fact that they can barbecue and party, because I guess you can't do that anywhere else but America. but anyway, what were you doing today on Memorial Day, sir?
I spent my day doing essentially yard work, I guess. Well, not quite yard work, just different stuff. So the middle of this.
Oh, come on. Tell the people what you were actually doing, because you told me and I'm leading it in so that you can talk about.
Giving ourselves a bit of a backstory here. Sure. Yeah, I will. The last few months, my wife and I have been doing some preparatory work. We actually got a small flock of baby chicks. It's been like a month, I want to say, probably about.
About that, yeah.
And these little critters are growing up super fast.
Now, if I'm correct, you guys put in this order for these chicks.
Yeah.
These chickens. Before kind of all of the craziness of the lockdown happened.
Well, this was something right? we had been planning to do. No, we didn't actually do the order for the chicks until the lockdown kicked in, but...
Okay, but you had been planning to do this. So this isn't necessarily in response to, oh my God, we won't be able to get eggs. We need to get chickens now.
No.
Because that wouldn't work out that way.
No, absolutely
not. Just so people know, anybody that's trying to get like baby chicks to try to supply themselves with eggs, yeah, the egg's in your face at this point in time, because it takes a little while before those chickens develop big enough to where they start laying eggs. And eggs are already back in stores perfectly fine. You can buy eggs anywhere at this point in time. There ain't no
shortage. Oh, yeah.
No,
if people are
right
buying
now.
Chicks for the sake of egg shortage, that was an idiotic, it was a completely idiotic maneuver. And on top of that, just to let everybody know, that definitely was happening. We ended up having trouble finding an order for baby chicks. The price of chickens shot up like right at the beginning of the lockdown. And there were people all over the place looking. They couldn't keep them in any of these areas that sell them. I wouldn't say a pet store, more feed stores. You go to a feed store.
Yeah.
You know, for like feed for like horses and cattle and stuff.
For those of you who live in, who are listening, who live in cities or big metropolitan areas. We do live in an area of California, and these do exist in California, by the way. California is not all just San Francisco and LA. There, between San Francisco and LA, and then north of San Francisco, there's huge, vast farmland areas of California that are more reminiscent physically in their physical appearance, psychologically, politically, religiously, to actual areas of the Midwest. And it's actually funny, you'll find that actually some of the dialect of California Central Valley, which stretches all the way down to what we say Bakersfield, Fresno, Bakersfield area. And then all the way up to Redding, which is where the whole of the Central Valley is.
Yep.
for California, you'll find that much of the dialect in that area has roots and similarity to dialect from Oklahoma. For instance, when people take the word wash and pronounce it warsh, they throw an R in there.
Yeah.
Or the pronunciation of the word sugar. The pronunciation of almond to almond. All of these things are actually, they actually take their roots in some of the dialect from Oklahoma. And the reason for that, do you know the reason for that? Let's see if you know before I give it to people. This is a little tiny education.
I mean, portion. I would say no. I was just, the main thing I was going to get is that it's really weird to be, you know, in a place like Sacramento or come out of San Francisco, drive 2 hours and end up in Mayberry, because that's what happens.
Yeah, basically, like, that's what you do. You leave Sacramento, you drive north from Sacramento, and you're a half hour out of Sacramento, and it's nothing but farmland. You get to the
great not state of Jefferson. It's not state, and they want to be really badly.
That's a whole different subject that would get us too political to talk about. we will one day. We'll have a discussion.
Maybe we will.
The whole state of Jefferson thing is
a phenomenon, man.
I won't get into the political implications of that. I want to more get into the economic implications of that and why it is something that would be doomed to fail from an economic standpoint, not a political standpoint. Because that's the thing that's being overlooked, is the economic standpoint. This is an economic economic minefield to try to do what they want to do.
Right. Totally.
Again, one day we will have the discussion about the state of Jefferson. It's a weird little thing, and it is a political conversation. So we will warn people ahead of time that there are some politics involved. We'll try to keep our personal politics out of it as much as possible. It'll probably be easy for Mike to do that. It will be really, really hard for me to do that, but I will try as hard as possible. But anyway, you're half hour, 45 minutes north of Sacramento, and you end up entering the small towns of Marysville or Yuba City, depending on which freeway you take. Mm-hmm. And these are towns that are so much more reminiscent of what you would find in the Midwest, in Oklahoma, in Arkansas. They have such a familiarity to the size and the kind of the composition of the peoples. With the only difference being, there's a very in Yuba City. There's a very, very large population of East Indian individuals, East Indian, Pakistani. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do with the fact that the second largest Sikh temple in the entire world is located right outside of Yuba City.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Very large Sikh population. Yeah. Second largest in the entire world. That's why first weekend in November, half of the city of Yuba City shuts down for a Sikh pride parade. Because the parade runs through almost half the city. You can't every hotel in Marysville and Yuba City and parts of Sacramento are completely full. You get something along the category of a half a million Sikhs that come to the area for the parade.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy during that time frame. If you're trying to get to that side of Yuba City during that time, it's not even worth your time. It's so packed full of people. I have never actually attended the parade, but I've heard very good things about the way the parade is handled. I have been to the Sikh temple one time. It was a really nice experience. Interesting place in the sense that most temples, you think of something of it being more, kind of relating to what we were saying earlier, more somber, more kind of contemplative type place, and not so at the Sikh temple. Brightly colored, very, very engaging and happy people there all the time. The atmosphere is almost an atmosphere of continual happiness. And they, as part of their religion, they feed people that come to the temples. So there's always food available. And in fact, I know during the lockdown, one of the places that was opened immediately to hand out food to people was the Sikh temple in the Yuba City area. They were having people drive up and get food in their parking lot, and of course drive away. Everybody masked up, everybody, you know, doing things by proper protocol, but they were handing out food immediately to people, and free handouts of food. Killer. Not talking charging anything. So it's a great addition to the community. It's a little bit of an outlier because it's definitely north of Sacramento. It's definitely a rustic community. It doesn't feel like California. It's confusing for many people who think that California is, you know, beaches and sand. Nope, it's farmland and a lot of it, and farmland breeds things like feed stores, something that you would find on a regular basis somewhere in the Midwest or somewhere in the South. It's a little bit weird in California because people don't think of California always as the big agricultural center that it is. And for it to be a big agricultural center, you need something like a feed store because people have land, people have animals, people need these things. So feed stores, you're right, they were completely out of any kind of chicks. You won't find them anywhere. See how I brought it back? I'm good at this.
How long was that? I have no idea. This is great. Okay. So we were getting back to it on this was, I was,
so how'd you get your chicks? Did you go rob a farmer or something?
No, we had to order them online, but, it was a place that was actually based in California. So they were super safe, and it came out in like 2 days, and it was perfect. It was we got them all. It was crazy because we were a little afraid. We thought that, so we ordered five because we thought that one or two would go by the time they got here. And
so you ordered five with the hope of at least having three.
Yeah, we ordered five with the expectation of at least three. All five showed up perfectly healthy.
Well, that's so fantastic.
We now have five chicks. And
you had to go pick them up at the post office, right?
Yes.
Which is interesting. I remember you telling me about having to pick them up at the post office.
Yes, that is because they refused to deliver them to the door.
You were a little surprised by that, weren't you?
I was, because I was going to ask them to hold it at the post office, and when I went to go request it, they're like, oh, we don't deliver them to door. Like, the truck is really hot, we don't want to kill them, we know exactly what's going on. And then once I realized, it was like, oh, wait a minute, look at the town I'm in. They all absolutely deal with this on a regular basis. They deal with livestock, they deal with all that.
Here's something funny about them. Remember when you told me, and I'm like, yeah, they hold, my response was, yeah, you have to go get them at the post office. Do you know why that was my response?
No.
Because of a book that I read back in elementary school.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell that book would be.
Where the Red Fern Grows.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that book, Where the Red Fern Grows?
I don't think I read that one. I'm not positive.
I have an interesting story behind that book. Because it was kind of a turning moment in my life. Maybe we'll talk about that a little after the break.
Oh, okay.
But in Where the Red Fern Grows, the young protagonist, Billy Coleman, actually, I can remember his name. Isn't that scary? That's how much this book meant to me. He is able to order two hunting dogs because he wants to have coon hunting dogs.
Right.
Real actual raccoon hunting dogs. Let's make sure I'm clear here. I'm not using any bad terms here.
No.
So he saves up the money from doing a bunch of jobs and is able to place an order for the dogs. He expects them to be delivered to the little he doesn't even really live in a town. He lives in kind of just a area of the Ozarks. And he finds out that because the mail carrier will bring mail out to them, but he finds out that they won't deliver the livestock, the animals. He has to go to the main town where the post office is to get them himself. So part of the story is him walking to the post office and getting them himself. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of how I kind of knew that they didn't deliver them directly to you. You had to go to the post office because they'd keep them there. So
that is
one of those funny things that stick with you.
Well, actually, what's really funny about that is that the company that we ordered our chicks from explicitly told us when our order came through that we need to call the post office because they attempt to bring the chicks to your house. So they throw them in a box live in the mail truck and they'll die in the mail truck in the heat.
Wow.
Yeah. So it does happen. It does happen, especially in towns where there's not much ordnance or not much. There's not much livestock. So yeah, those post offices that are not used to that. See, what you're talking about makes perfect sense, but
So what we're saying is, if you live in San Francisco or you live in LA,
yeah,
or you live in Seattle, for instance, or heck, if you're listening to us all the way from New York City, don't expect that your post office is going to know what to do with livestock. They have no idea what to do with it.
It's very possible that they won't. And so that being said, so we went down to the post office. I went and we got the chicks. All five of them turned out to be alive and healthy, and they are growing way faster than we thought they were going to.
Okay.
We have actually,
so that leads into what you've been doing today, right?
Yeah. What we were doing today was,
hold on.
What?
I'm trying to leave a cliffhanger for people.
Oh,
so them growing too fast leads into what you were doing today. We're going to take a break. Because we're at break time.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mike is going to tell us what he did today.
Yeah.
You have to keep listening because you have to know what he did.
Yep.
You might have already guessed it, but you still have to know. Okay? So we'll be back in just a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back, everybody.
All right.
Hopefully you're still listening. I mean, it was such a huge, long break. I don't even know how long the breaks are anymore, but I'm sure it was, like, just agonizingly long.
Yeah.
So, Mike.
Yes.
People need to know. They've been waiting for so long.
Such a cliffhanger, man.
So, what did you do today that has to do with these chicks getting bigger?
Well, we have an old... So, the house that I'm at essentially, it's a pigeon coop. It's not quite a shed, but it used to be a pigeon coop. And we've been doing some renovation work in there. And a lot of it today was... Well, today and yesterday was tearing out the floor.
Okay.
There was a wood floor that used to be in the very middle of it. And then on the sides of the room, you would have the open areas where the pigeons would roost. They were there. Those were the ones that were covered with that stuff. It's like a metal mesh. I don't know why I can't think about it. Hardware cloth? Okay. Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hardware cloth. Yeah.
Okay.
So hardware cloth proves itself to be far more effective from deterring predators than chicken wire because it's way thicker and it's way more robust and resilient. It's galvanized steel. It's not going to rust. It can't be chewed through. It's pretty hefty stuff.
Yeah, it's hardy enough to deal with your main predators of small birds or even larger birds, which are going to be your snakes and your rats or mice.
Yep,
those snakes are the things you have to worry most about as being predators.
Well, we've actually had raccoons come through here, so we definitely want to make sure that they cannot get in.
There's that possibility as well, and I mean, any raccoons coming into your yard are bigger than any of your dogs. So, and your dogs your dogs are inside dogs, but still,
right?
They aren't going to offer much in the way of defense.
No. But between four of them, the two Brahmas we have, the Rhode Island Red, and then once they're all full grown, five full grown chickens will fuck something up. Like chickens do. Like, that's one thing that people don't realize is chickens do not mess around. They can cuddly. No. They're weird. They're independent. They're almost like cats in that respect.
But I have found chickens to be easy to deal with. Chickens I'm cool with. I can walk around chickens. I can be around chickens.
Right.
They don't bother me very much because they're fairly cool. As long as you don't piss them off, they're really kind of easy going. But like, stay the hell away from freaking geese.
Oh, geese are horrible. Geese are murderous bastards.
Ducks. and pigs.
Oh, pigs too. Yeah. Ducks are pretty mean.
Okay, no.
Ducks can be mean. Geese are super mean.
Ducks can be. Geese are evil. I've been bitten by geese more times. Ooh. I'm telling you. Mm-mm. No, not friendly.
Yeah, chickens. I mean that in the sense of when if you have a flock of chickens large enough to take care of most predators, we're not talking like, no, don't get me wrong, we're not talking like foxes and raccoons. Those are kind of big. You want to make sure that they can't get in. But, you know, the other things that are great about them is they'll fuck up a snake.
They'll be able to take care of a snake, maybe a rat if it ain't like a New York sewer rat or something. definitely mess with some field mice and whatnot. But
for sure.
Again, stay away from the geese, people. Stay away from ducks.
Yeah.
Stay away from pigs. Pigs, you don't even know how. Pigs, most time, can be pretty docile, but their bite, oh man, that hurts. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
So you were what, ripping the floor out of this thing?
We had to rip the floor out of it because one of the issues was that the floor itself is it's covered, right? It's not open. So in most instances where previous bird waste would not be that big of an issue because things like rain, that is not a factor in a shed. Well, it's basically a shed. It's got a covering. It's a coop, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be able to clean it out. Well, it had been years since this was worked on, and there was just some stuff left over. So we had to dig all that out, and we had to create a new floor, and that's what we're doing now. But instead of doing the traditional, like, and I'm not sure. No, we're not experts at this. This is a learning process for all of us.
Oh yeah.
And I'm quite sure that.
Hey man, Google. Yeah. Google will teach you everything,
And it has. But there's a lot of traditional ways to go, and we kind of went non-traditional with it in that we tore out the old floor. We don't need the wood floor in the middle. That's useless. So instead, what we decided to do was we're going to tear the whole floor out. It's a dirt floor, but we have to reinforce that dirt floor with hardware cloth. So, and that is the longest, most tedious process in the world because we couldn't find hardware cloth wider than 2 feet wide. And this room is it like 12 by 18 room?
So this is for like anybody that's
like,
ever tried
to use...
It's
like 10 by 18, yeah.
It's like for anybody who's ever tried to use duct tape to like cover something big.
Right.
It's just strip after strip after strip.
Yeah, you have to lay it down and we have to staple it to the foundation itself, the walls, right? And then we're going to take that and cover it in dirt, but... We've created a full barrier seal of the floor inside the room, and we're going to cover that in dirt. But the last 2 days have been make the floor, like make the security. And it is just insanity. It was a learning process, and we have been out in the heat for the last couple of days, and we're almost done with it. And then we're out in California, and a massive heat wave has been reported for today through Thursday.
Yeah.
And now we have, and by the way, our chicks have gotten so big that they're starting to fly out of their little coop area that we have. Now we have all of them inside the house. We have them in a room in the house.
How are the dogs dealing with that? Because I mean, you have other animals, but for the most part,
right.
They're pretty well contained.
They're contained. They're in cages. Yeah. Are. The dogs are extremely curious. We have four dogs. One of them is much older. We're a lot more sketchy about her because her prey drive is really strong because she is an Italian greyhound. And you don't want to mess around with them. Like, I honestly probably won't introduce her to them until they're a group of adults I can make sure that she can't get to them.
Well, and even then,
she has to learn to leave them alone.
Yeah, even then you'd want to keep eyes on at all times. Because you never know what can happen.
Yeah. Now, the other dogs are pretty much all familiar with chickens. We got three more dogs, and they're all pretty much familiar with chickens. So, Clint Eastwood, is a total sweetheart. He's very curious about them, but he's so gentle with them, it's not even funny. He is just, very curious. He's like,
that's not surprising.
Really, really fascinated by them, but he also knows he doesn't want to hurt it. Like, he knows he's very sentient about it. It's very, very sweet. So he's going to be super
That's really
cool.
Not surprising with him.
Yeah.
Not surprising at all. He's kind of he's a bit of a barker, but otherwise.
He's very much a barker, but he's a total sweetheart.
Yeah, he's just kind of a lay there and stare at you kind of dog. You
know? Yeah. So, yeah, this has been the last few days, and it has just destroyed me physically. Being just like being hands and knees, basically stapling and nailing hardware cloth into the walls of this building, reinforcing it, making sure that it's secure and it's safe. You know, these chickens are protected when they finally move in there. We've still got weeks to go, but the time is moving faster than we anticipated.
Well, and for people to understand, last couple of shows we've been doing since we've been able to, you did this before we were doing these from the comfort of our own home, because you were in the comfort of your own home.
Yes.
So when we were the few times that we did do evening shows, and we weren't recording in the morning, because it used to be we would record in the mornings.
Yeah.
When we transitioned into evening shows, second half of the podcast, Mike would usually have a mixed drink of some type or another.
Right.
I would not, because I still had to drive home. Half hour, 45 minutes, and I'm too damn old to be even having a single drink before I try to drive home. It's just not worth my time and effort anymore. I have nothing to prove to anybody except to keep points off my license so that I don't have to pay higher insurance. I'm in that age bracket where my insurance is really low, and I'd like to keep it that way by not getting any stupid tickets for dumb things.
Right. Hey, that's worth a ton once you get to a certain age, man.
Yeah, and so I'm good. I don't need anything to drink while I'm there. So, but since I've been home being able to record, I've been able to have a drink or two while we're recording this, because we're recording at night. So I try not to drink too early in the day. I did have a few drinks in the afternoon yesterday, because it was Sunday and it was a stressful day, and so I said, you know what, I'm going to have a few drinks.
Yeah.
At our break, I went and got myself another glass of scotch, and Mike went and got himself a Gatorade. That's how beat up Mike is.
Yeah,
today.
I am not like this. Is
he
not
didn't get his? He didn't get his Jack and Coke.
Nope, this is not a whiskey night tonight. Normals. Uh-uh.
Yeah, normally that's it. That's that would be Mike's go-to drink is Jack and Coke typically.
Yeah,
am I wrong?
Yeah, I would. I'm wrong? No. You're not wrong. Okay. That's absolutely right.
I ask my drink of choice, man. Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong, Bish. You're wrong.
But yeah, I would normally be winding down at the end of the day with a mixed drink with a Jack and Coke, and that's not happening tonight.
Yeah, which is it's fully understandable. There are definitely nights where it's like, nope, I have Gatorade. Friday was actually a night that it was a Gatorade night. I think I drank two Gatorades Friday night.
Oh, nice.
It was. It's kind of a stressful weekend all around. So,
gotcha.
See, you were doing that this weekend, and you've been doing a lot of kind of since even before the lockdown stuff happened. You and your wife have been working heavily on renovating in your backyard. There's been there were plants bought that you guys are growing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of trees that were part of those plants.
Yep.
You guys were kind of redoing a bunch of stuff. You built a fire pit.
Yep.
You got a whole bunch going on, trying to turn your backyard into kind of this entertainment / garden area.
Yeah. Just,
/ whatever.
Just a chill spot to look out at when you get up in the morning, you know?
Yeah, you've been doing upgrades on your backyard and whatnot, trying to make it your spot, and it's, you know, is good stuff. And this has given you guys a little bit more time, at least it's given you, with you're not necessarily being at work all the time, it's given you some time to be able to focus on that and do some work on that. I know your wife's still working because of the type of job that she does.
Yeah.
She's essential. But
yes.
But it's given you some more time to do that. And of course I've been home because I can't do the thing that I was doing, which is going to school. But I can't say that I've been nearly as productive as you at home, because I've had to deal with the changing of schedules and things.
And
part of that change in schedule is not having, and this is where the big difference comes. I have the children thing and you don't have the children thing to worry about.
Right.
Which gives you
that helps
free time.
Ability to be to indulge in creative pastimes.
All it does for me is give me a shit ton of Zoom meetings that I have to do.
Yeah.
Which I will admit, some of it has been interesting. I've been able to get kind of some frontline stuff on my kids' education and see some of the things that I like about what they're learning and some of the things that are just really hurting my brain a lot.
Okay.
Some of the things that I've had to have the teachers explain to me. Why the hell are you teaching them this? What is the relevance of this to what you're supposed to be teaching? I don't get it. I don't get it. But you know, some of it's been nice, but it's also created a complete change of schedule for my lifestyle. Now, it used to be I'd have to get up at about 6 o'clock in the morning so that I could get myself ready, get the whole household ready, so I could get the kids off to school, because they had to be at school by like 8:30. So we're leaving the house at like 8 o'clock every morning, right?
Right.
So I'm leaving at 8 o'clock, and I have to make sure that 3 kids and myself get out the door by 8 o'clock in the morning. I have to get up at the very minimum of 6 o'clock in the morning to make sure that everybody's put together. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It takes a long time to get 4 people put together. You figure a half hour on each person, that's not that bad.
No.
But it takes that much time to get everybody put together to get going. So I don't have to do that anymore. Because the earliest meeting that one of my kids has, is 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's in the living room. So all I got to do is turn on a computer, punch in a bunch of numbers, and sit a kid in front of a computer for a meeting. I ain't got to go anywhere. I ain't got to get dressed.
Yep.
So, like, I'm not getting up till like 8 o'clock in the morning now.
Wow.
And this is throwing off my entire schedule of things, because we have a grandmother that lives in the house with us, my wife's grandmother. And because I kind of have grandparents still, but not really. I don't really talk to them much. And they're on my mom's side. I mean, the other grandparents are all dead. So I don't have any that I'm worried about taking care of. But this is my wife's grandmother, who is around and who does need to have some people with her to kind of help her out through things, because she does have some various health issues and various things going on that she needs a little bit of help. Plus, she's one of those people that likes to have family around her. She doesn't like to be by herself. So she's been a part of our household for about 8 years now. And she has a few specific medical conditions where she needs to communicate some of the medical information to me in the morning and at night. Okay?
Okay.
Well, it used to be that she would try to communicate her morning medical information to me around 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, previously, I just said that 8 o'clock in the morning is when we were leaving the house.
Right.
Now, I don't know if you've had experience. Well, you're going to have the experience of trying to get. Actually, you have. You've had the experience with your dogs of trying to corral them to get to do something, all of them at once.
Yes.
And if somebody's trying to call you during that time to give you information, or send you messages during that time to give you information, it can be a bit annoying because you're in the middle of trying to do something.
Right.
Now imagine the dogs are bigger, noisier, and don't listen to you at all. And you're trying to get them all in a vehicle so that you can get them to school on time. That would be the best correlation I can give you for trying to get 3 kids. Anybody who has kids who's listening to this will be like, yes, I know what it's like to get my damn kids in the car in the morning, and it's god awful. It can be very difficult to get them all going.
Right.
Because the thing is, no matter what age the kid is, no matter what age they are, no matter how much time you put in as a parent, especially when they're in their teenage years, you need to understand something. Okay. Especially in their teenage years, they're growing. So as they're growing, all these different things happening within their body are all of their endocrine glands are sending out all of these chemicals to try to help the body grow in different ways, right?
Right.
These chemicals and hormones that make their body grow, that get them taller and put, you know, hair in places and all those things that happen through the preteen years and up into the teenage years, even before that, when it's just starting to get it to where their baby teeth come out and their adult teeth come in. That's still hormones making all of that happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're constantly from birth getting these floods of hormones into their body. And what this does is it messes with the way their brain works.
Okay.
So no matter how well put together the kids are, no matter how well put together you were as a kid,
right?
you're still a dumb kid who's going to forget crap. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. If your kid forgets their stuff, they will always blame you. It is always, somehow or another, your fault as the parent. Now, here's the thing. I want you to think back to when you were a kid. You did the exact same thing. I know I did it, because kids have too fragile an ego at that point. They don't know themselves well enough. They're not secure enough in themselves to take the responsibility for their own crap. Instead, it's always somebody else's fault.
Right.
They have to grow up and get to that point that they can take responsibility for their own stuff. But as teenagers, as preteens, little kids, it's always somebody else's fault. And guess who it typically is the fault of? Mom and dad. Always talk to mom and dad. So as dad, getting the kids ready for school and getting them in the car and getting them to school, I've got to be the one to make sure that they have all of their stuff, that they have their lunches in their bags, that they have all the papers and all the books and all the whatever that they need to take to school. I am the one who has to make sure when it's cold outside that they put jackets and sweatshirts on, because kids never – well, I'll rephrase. I have one kid who always wants to have a sweatshirt on regardless of how hot it is. They always want to leave with a damn sweatshirt on. I don't know why, but always want to have a damn sweatshirt on.
Okay.
The other ones, you have to actually, hey, get your jacket. You have to wear your jacket. One of them never wants to wear a damn jacket. No, you need to wear a jacket. And it's got to make sure they got the jacket on. Got to make sure the one kid, I'll admit, I feel a soft spot for it because I don't leave my house without having a baseball cap on or glasses on, because I just don't. You know, sunglasses, not glasses, glasses, because I can see. Right. But I'm not blind. I don't leave without my sunglasses and my baseball cap. It just doesn't happen. You know, I won't get in the car and go anywhere without those things on me.
Right.
Hell, even last year when I was in a play and I wasn't even allowed to wear the hat for the play, I still wore my hat to the theater and took it off before I started the play. Took it off, did my hair, whatever, because I got to have a hat when I leave. It's just...
Right. Okay.
So I've got to make sure he has his hat and his glasses and his watch, because he needs his watch to be able to check the time, because, of course, he wants a digital watch to be able to read. He can read an analog clock. He can read, the hands on the clock.
Okay.
He knows how to do that.
Right.
He's just too damn lazy to read that. He wants a digital, wristwatch. Because my kids don't have cell phones for multiple reasons. One of them is because I'm cheap. The other one is a whole different reason. But anyway, they don't really need them. They don't call anybody on the phone because they don't like to talk on the phone. And I don't fully understand that, but whatever. But anyway, I have to make sure they have all these things. So it's a stressful time in my day. 8 o'clock is stressful, right? From like 7:50 to 8:10, I am doing whatever I can to make sure I get the kids in the car on time. Inevitably, right, they're not in the car on time. Then I have to make sure that the music is the music they like to listen to and not dad's music. Because I think there's like one song that one of my kids likes that's dad's music. And my oldest, he likes Avenged Sevenfold's Little Piece of Heaven.
And nice. I'm
kind of happy that that's the song that he likes.
Well done. Anyway, well done. Yes, good choice.
I do what I can. I do what I can. But... it's a stressful time. So the grandmother would always try to send me this medical information at 8 o'clock.
Right.
And I'd be fumbling around, making sure I got to make sure I have my wallet and my keys and my cell phone and my glasses and my hat before I leave.
Right.
And so I'd be in the middle of doing that. Suddenly my phone's going off. And I'm like, oh God, what is this? I got to make sure it's not anything important. I mean, it is important because I need this medical information every day.
Right.
But I don't need it right then. So I started telling her, look, right, I'm up at 6 o'clock every morning to get the kids ready for school. Send it to me sometime between 6 and 7, because I'm still in the process of maybe getting myself ready, or I have more time then. I'm not worried about breakfast and making lunches and all that crap during that time. So she kind of started doing that.
Okay.
But not really.
Okay.
So she got a little bit better about it, but still not really. But it's fine. It's fine. She tried. So when all these changes come down, right, the whole schedule changes, everything goes all wonky and weird, and no more school that they have to go to. Instead, all these meetings, and they start at 10 o'clock, so I'm like, I just start sleeping later and later and later, to the point where like 8 o'clock is now 6 o'clock for me, getting up. Like, oh, crap, I got to get up now. I got to start getting everything ready. get the household going, get the dog, you know, get my dogs fed, get the cats fed, turn on all the lights for all the multiple other tanks and things that we have. Make sure those things happen. Make sure the wife is up so that she can feed the animals that I don't feed. And make sure breakfast is made, because I still have to make breakfast for at least one of the kids, because he's particular about what he has for breakfast. At least it's healthy. He's not eating cereal and Pop-Tarts. He's eating pancakes, so that's better than those. But I got to make my breakfast. And so I've been able to push my thing back by 2 hours, and I even have time to rest before there's, you know, I'm usually done by like 9:15, 9:30, and I can sit and rest and relax until kids got a meeting, right?
Right.
So it's a little easier day. But still, the grandmother is occasionally sending her medical information to me at 6 o'clock in the morning. And it doesn't happen even every morning. It's sporadic. And so at one point, last week, it ends up becoming 2 mornings in a row. And there were mornings that sadly I didn't get. I got to sleep late because there were issues that kept me up really late. I'm talking like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning late. And then at 6 a.m., I get this text message about this medical stuff. It's like, what the hell? Okay, maybe it's just one of those weird mornings. And the next morning, 6 a.m., and I'm like, what the hell? What is going on? 2 mornings in a row? We never have the same time 2 mornings in a row. What's going on? So I sit her down and talk to her about it. I'm like, come on. What's going on? Why 6 in the morning, 2 mornings in a row? What's something happening? Something crazy? Friday was the second morning. And she's like, no, you said that you're up at 6 o'clock. I'm like, okay.
We're going to try this again. The world
has changed. Everything has changed. This isn't the world that we lived in before. This is a world where I get to sleep till 8 o'clock now. I don't have to be up at 6. So, like,
you don't get to sleep till 8?
You cannot send me that stuff until, like, after 8, because that would be really good. Well, I'm up by 4. I understand, but you also get to take naps throughout the day, and you know you're on old people's schedule, so you go to sleep earlier and you wake up earlier. I get that. You know, that's fine. I'm not on that schedule.
Wow.
Give me some time. Give me some time, lady. Okay. I don't know why you're changing it, because the world has changed. It's not just me. But that's just it. I mean, it's just such a small minutia that I'm talking about.
Right.
But this is the thing that everything has changed in these last 2 months. Everything about the way that we deal with the world has changed. And even the small things you kind of have to make an adjustment on. I mean, I can tell you right now, 2 months ago, I am not having any whiskey on Monday night because I have to wake up Tuesday morning and get the kids ready for school.
Wow.
Sorry, scotch. I'm not having any scotch on Monday night. Because having scotch and having to wake up at 6 a.m. the next morning is no bueno.
Uh-uh.
No bueno at all.
Nope.
I can't do that crap. Now, on a Friday night or a Saturday night, sure, I ain't got to get up to go anywhere on a Saturday.
Yeah, and totally.
I don't got to get up to go anywhere on a Sunday typically either. So I can, Friday and Saturday night, I can have a few drinks. Not a problem. I don't have those responsibilities the next day. There's no 6 a.m. call for me. But, yeah. Sunday through Thursday night? Hell no, I got to get up early. There's no way in hell I'm having a drink. Forget that. Maybe on Sunday, if it's a 1 o'clock football game, 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
yeah,
I might have a beer or two at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because by the time dinner rolls around, I'm fine. Yeah. You know, there's no effects left. Of course, can't do that now because of the eggs, but that's a whole different conversation. Goddamn eggs. Stopping my beer love. But anyway,
I'm sorry.
It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me with the whiskey and the scotch, by the way. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It could be I don't know. It could have to do with like a yeast thing or something.
I think it's a CO2 thing.
That would make sense. That would make sense.
But whatever. But yeah.
I'm sorry about that, by the way.
It just means that if I want to drink beer, I need to eat something else for breakfast. It's all right. Cool. But anyway. Nobody needs to know about my problems with digestion, unless they want to. If you would like to hear about James's digestion problems, please leave a message on our YouTube page.
Nice segue. Very, very well done.
I mean, I don't.
That's it.
I don't expect anybody to do that. And if they do, if you do leave that message, I'll be more than glad to talk about it. But I would also suggest that you seek professional help, because you really should not be worried about my digestive issues. That's a little freaky. A
little too much.
But I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it. If it helps you with your digestive issues, I'll talk about it.
I mean, if you really, anyway. I mean, as long as you, some level of tact, for the love of God.
I guess. I mean, how tactful can you be when
there's
you're
only
about
one
explosive diarrhea? I mean,
I eat eggs in the morning, then I drink a beer at noon, and there's shit all over the walls. What can be done?
So much, it's not so much that as just the profound odor of the gas that's expelled from my anus.
I said what I said to be facetious. I don't know why we're having this conversation.
You said what you said to be a feces. I get it.
No, that's not what I meant to say. And that's not what it. No, you and your word twisting. Damn you, James. Foiled again.
A little late for me to be damned. I've been damned for a long time. But speaking of that YouTube page,
yes,
I think we're at the end of our day.
That's good. Mike, that's good. Yeah,
Mike, where can people be listening to us?
Well, you can find us at thezenchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. You can also find us on Spotify and iTunes. Apple Podcast now. It's not iTunes.
Yes.
Apple Podcast and Google Podcast and all the podcasts. Go look for us. Type us. Google us. You'll find us. Speaking of Zenchron, also, you can check us out on Twitter and on Facebook at Zenchron. We have a Twitter and a Facebook, and that's it, right? Do we have an Insta?
Yes.
We have an Insta.
We do not have Instagram yet because James is stupid and doesn't know how to use Instagram yet.
Oh, man.
Yes, I know you can teach me how to use Instagram. I'm just rebelling.
You're refusing. You're refusing because you're old.
Yes.
Oh, fuck yeah. Me. No, you got to get over that, bro. You might like it. I'm straight up pitching you Instagram on the show, so
I know.
It's fun.
I know, and it's.
All right. Anyways,
that thing is not mine. That thing is not mine. There's a band. No, here's the thing. There's a band that that a couple of years ago they did a song that kind of has my worldview on a lot of these. At least it helped inspire kind of my worldview mm-hmm. on these, what am I looking for? What's the word to describe it? Things like Facebook and Twitter, social media.
Social media, yeah.
Okay. And, the title of the song kind of explains how I feel about social media apps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or at least the main chorus. I may get the exact title wrong and the songwriter will be very angry with me for getting it wrong. But basically the gist of it is, the world's no longer yours. This world is no longer mine. The social media world, it's not mine. That's the song by I think a very good band. And the songwriter in that lyric kind of made me understand the idea that I'm at the point where the world is no longer mine. It's the future generation's world. It's not mine anymore.
Yeah.
Interestingly, that same album had a song called Quarter Life Crisis, which I think ties right into that idea that once you get to a certain age, it's not your world anymore. It's the world of the future generation. You're no longer the future generation. You're there prepping it for the future generation, making it the right world for the future generation. I think both those songs tie in really good. But yeah, this world's no longer mine, Mike.
No.
And so I'll try on the Instagram.
I was going to say, you should get an Instagram about it.
Here's the thing. If you have a problem, I just want to make it clear. If you have a problem with that song affecting my worldview of this, if that aggravates you or irritates you, then what I'm going to say is the next time you see the songwriter, smack him in the face.
That's what I'm going to say. Immediately.
That's what I'm going to say.
I will, as soon as I find him.
And I think the one thing you didn't mention was the thing I mentioned, is that you can find us on YouTube.
Yes.
We're there on YouTube. Our entire catalog is on YouTube. You can comment, and if you are not a bot, I will respond to you. If you are a bot, I will ignore your stupid bot ass. I just want that to be
clear. Wow. Okay. Hey, man. I understand bots are kind of crazy right now, but you might want to you might want to talk to somebody about your about bots.
No, I'm not going to talk to nobody about butts.
I'm just saying.
Not worth my time and effort. Just saying. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week. And again, feel free to comment at any point in time. We'd love to hear from you.
Please do.
Talk to you next week.
Well, have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.